We just heard how increased precipitation from climate change could strain the aging infrastructure that protects us from flooding. In Appalachia, where mountaintop removal for coal and strip mining are common, the risks from increased rainfall are already threatening people's homes and health. Jim Bruggers is a reporter for Inside Climate News, and he's reported on this threat. He joined me to talk about what he found. Jim, thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome.
Your story begins with a really scary weather event that happened in May 2009. The Pigeon Creek in West Virginia flooded. Describe what happened to some of the nearby residents there.
Well, it was in the middle of the night, which adds to the scare factor, if you will. And I think it was like 2 or 3 inches of rain fell. And the Pigeon Creek is it's a very narrow hollow in Mingo County, and about 50% of that little watershed has been surface mined, strip mined, mountaintop removal mined. And so anyway, the water came down, rushed down these valley fills, you know, the places where the waste rock from the mining had been pushed into the upper watershed streams, and it caused erosion and some landslides, and the water just came rushing down, and all of a sudden water is coming into people's homes, under the doors. And the woman that I'd spoke with, Mildred Elkins, I mean, she actually went down to the basement to try to salvage something, and she almost got caught down there. She had water up to her neck. She was holding onto the stairs, and she was having a hard time getting her feet back on the stairs. But she was able to pull herself up. But yeah, it was very scary. And that same, just like a few hours earlier, about 60 miles away in Kentucky, in a similar kind of setting, that same storm dumped a bunch of rain on another mountaintop removal mine. And, you know, the person I talked to there actually watched the house come floating down what was normally a pretty tiny little stream.
Just say a little bit about what the landscape there looks like with strip mining, mountaintop removal, and, as you say, what they call valley fills, and how that leads to flooding.
Yeah, so there were two things happening in the hills above Pigeon Creek. On one side, several hundred feet of mountain had been blasted away to get at coal seams that are buried underneath. And it's just a flat top. The trees are gone. It's exposed rock. And during the process of mining, the waste rock has to go somewhere. And so it's pushed down into these the upper reaches of the tiny tributaries that lead into Pigeon Creek. If you look at them from the air, they almost look like a dentist would fill a cavity. They tend to be sort of V-shaped, elongated, and they hold all this waste rock. And then on the other side, there was a plan to build an interstate-like highway, and so there was mining that was done to facilitate that. You know, together, that's what created the situation, which was very unnatural.
So the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is forecasting more rain and increased stream flows due to climate change in this region. And your outfit, Inside Climate News, asked two Duke University scientists to analyze the risks of climate change and mining. And what they did was lay satellite imagery of the mined lands in Appalachia over digital mapping files from a 2017 climate change report by the Army Corps for the Ohio River Basin. So what did this analysis find?
Basically, what the students did, their names are Megan Ospen and Alexander Yoshizumi. You know, what they found is that the risks related to strip mining and climate change are spread pretty broadly across the region, some 1,400 square miles of Appalachia within the Ohio River Basin has been scarred by strip mining and these valley fills. And then they also found, this was really interesting, it was, I think, a big surprise. The area that had the largest extent of strip mining damage in the entire Ohio River Basin was a 500-square-mile area of the Big Sandy Watershed along the West Virginia and Kentucky border. I mean, it had 500 square miles of actual damage. And because of more rain, that particular area could see up to 25% increase in stream flow by 2040 and up to a 35% increase by the end of the century from just climate change alone. It's important to point out that the Army Corps of Engineers did not factor in land use in their analysis. If you take a field and then you pave it, you're going to have more runoff. They were just basing their runoff projections based on changing weather patterns. You know, it made me conclude that after the coal mining stops, that this legacy of coal mining will continue to exact a price on these residents who live downstream from hundreds of mountains that have been leveled in Appalachia. And, you know, they were leveled in large part to produce electricity. which is sort of ironic because that can make that's making climate change worse. Burning coal makes climate change worse.
There's some question about who is responsible for flooding, how much can be attributed to mining. What do hydrologists say, and what do coal companies say?
I mean, on one level, you think about if you just remove all the trees and you basically turn a forest into the equivalent of a parking lot, you know, you would think that you would get more runoff. And then also you have these valley fills. They're not necessarily terribly stable, which means that they're, you know, susceptible to landslides. But and I found that there really hasn't been a lot of actual academic research on it. But the Kentucky State geologist who I spoke to did say that the research does tend to lend itself towards a conclusion that mining will increase stream flows. And I did find that conclusion in some Army Corps, some specific Army Corps permitting actions dating quite a ways back. You know, I looked to the courts. I wanted to see what examples are there in the courts, because you can go to scientists, you can go to regulators, you can also look to the courts, and they actually hire hydrologists, and the hydrologists do these calculations, and there's cases where they're able to actually demonstrate before a judge or a jury that the changes to the landscape from mining actually contributed to the flooding that occurred. So there's some different opinions on it. The mining companies tend to either say that it was an act of God, or they'll say that, well, there shouldn't have been any trouble because we followed the rules, the regulations that are supposed to minimize impacts from mining. Jack Spadaro, who's kind of a legendary former retired top mine safety engineer who was a whistleblower in a mining disaster many years ago. And he now investigates these. He's been investigating flooding from mines for decades. And so what Jack Spadaro has found in many cases is that the mining companies actually don't follow the rules and leave their properties susceptible to these vast areas susceptible to more damage from flooding. And there's one really interesting thing which I didn't know about before. The rain, when it lands on these strip mines, it hits the ground and it becomes very acidic. And then it washes into these valley fills. Scientists were telling me there's a chemical reaction that occurs there. And actually, the acidic runoff is breaking down this waste rock. And so then there's pockets that are created. There's a lot of concern that it actually makes them more unstable.
Yeah, because there was some speculation that the valley fills, those rocks removed from mountaintops, do soak up and slow the water coming off of mountaintop mining operations.
Yeah, I did speak with a professor who did find those results. But those researchers, they have not actually looked at the ability of these valley fills to act as sponges, so to speak, when they're faced with additional rain that climate change is already bringing. And, you know, a hydrologist who works for the state of West Virginia, he told me that he felt that these valley fills wouldn't be able – you'd just be putting more water and more water on top of valley fills that are already, you know, filled with water, and that it's likely to cause more problems in the future.
What's being done to prevent flooding in these mined areas? Best practices, laws in place?
There are design standards for how these mines should be constructed. And, of course, there are not as many as being constructed right now because, you know, coal mining in Appalachia has really dropped. States do have rules. The regulations, they're better than they used to be. They're certainly better than they were prior to the federal government stepping in 1977 with the Surface Mining Reclamation Act. But, you know, the states don't always have great enforcement and then there's another problem which is happening is it has to do with reclamation. There's a lot of mines that aren't being reclaimed. And reclamation is that you take this mountaintop removal mine and you are supposed to return it to some sort of an original contour. And you're supposed to make sure that things like runoff are taken care of. And so with mining companies going bankrupt, there's questions about you know, just how much reclamation is going to happen and how quickly. And so just kind of the general downward trend of the industry makes it more challenging, I think, down the road for these mine properties to be, you know, made safer.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Jim Bruggers is a reporter with Inside Climate News, a nonprofit, nonpartisan news outlet that covers climate, energy, and the environment. You can read his story and see maps and photos of affected areas at AlleghenyFront.org. I'm Carol Holsapple. This is the Allegheny Front.